From the University of Alberta Alumni Association, it's What the Job. I'm Matt Ray.
People want to feel valued. They want to be seen and they want to know that they're contributing. And if they're not in a role where they're contributing to the extent that they want to, or to the extent maybe that you think they can, then take the time to have the conversation to say, you know, where do you want to be? Where do you think you can add the most value? And then being really responsive to that.
Welcome to this special episode of What the Job, focused on leadership. Today I am joined by Elan McDonald, the Vice President of External Relations at the University of Alberta. Elan has plenty of leadership background. She worked as the Deputy Chief of Staff and Political Advisor to two Alberta Premiers, and she also founded and led her own consulting company. She shares five foundational aspects of leadership she has learned throughout her career, all of which are excellent advice for any aspiring leader. What the Job is made possible with the support of our affinity partner, TD Insurance. Did you know that through the TD Insurance Mellish Monics program, University of Alberta alumni are entitled to preferred rates on car, home, condo, and renter's insurance? Save even more by bundling your car and home insurance. To learn more about how you can save, please visit tdinsurance.com/UAlberta alumni. So what's your name and what's your job?
Yeah, hi, Matt. So my name is Elan McDonald, and I'm the Vice President External Relations here at the University of Alberta.
And obviously, external relations at the University of Alberta covers pretty wide range of things, but what are some of the aspects in this portfolio? What are some of the things you oversee?
Yeah, so we have communications and marketing and all of the relationships, I say. So community relations, government relations, industry partnerships. We also have alumni relations and development. And I think that's it.
Yeah, it's a pretty big portfolio. People don't really, I don't think people realize how big the University of Alberta is and how vast its communications and relationships management is. I've worked in it a little bit, so I know as well. But how long have you been in this job now?
Yeah, so I started 3 years ago, and I started when this portfolio was actually in two separate portfolios. So there was university relations and alumni and development. And so I arrived 6 months after President Flanagan, and the cuts to the university had just been announced, and we were in the middle of COVID. So it was an interesting time to join the university. I was virtual for about the first year.
Yeah, that must be an amazing, well, a challenging time, but also incredible, different. No one else has started at a university like in those circumstances, unless they, you know, they were starting here with massive changes structurally to the university, but also COVID as well. How did you find entering in a sort of new environment, being thrust into a leadership role under those circumstances?
Yeah, well, I knew it was going to be a challenge. It's probably what drew me to it. But I was really intrigued by the path that President Flanagan had laid out. So, you know, and I thought I could actually bring the skills that I have. I could see a path where I could utilize my skills to actually help position the government, to help with some of the relationships with some of our government stakeholders and community stakeholders, but also think through how to build a service oriented portfolio, because I had previously held a public relations firm that I had founded and built over time. And so I knew how to do customer relations, and I thought I could bring that to this role as well. But it was intimidating. You know, it's a large organization, and so to come in when everybody's working virtually and get to know, you know, the culture, I thought that would be the one area if I was going to make a misstep, it would be, you know, sort of from a culture perspective, not really understanding how things worked. And so I worked really hard and leaned on so many of my great colleagues that helped me navigate and understand the university in those really important first months.
Right. Really difficult to try to get to know people and culture through a screen. And when you're not, you know, walking the halls and seeing people around. How have you found the 3 years now? So much change has happened. So much change continues, as it always does in this sector. But what's the experience been like for you?
Yeah, well, challenging, you know, is probably a little bit of an understatement, and especially in the first 2 years, you know, because it was a really difficult time for the university, really challenging. And, you know, people that had worked together for years, you know, some of them were no longer with the university. Some of them, you know, were no longer in their team. They were in another team. And so it was a really challenging time to navigate through that. And also, you know, folks had many, many years of experience working in a very decentralized system. And so me arriving was the beginning of centralizing the administrative services. So lots of challenges introducing a new approach, in addition to a reduction, you know, in the administrative budgets and services. So lots of challenges. But I would say, so, you know, now I'm sort of entering into the fourth year of my time here. You know, there has been a shift. You know, I think that the culture has shifted. I think people have started to see the benefits of a one university approach and a centralized delivery of services. And, you know, we're starting to see that there are some efficiencies. We're starting to see that we can have a greater impact with one voice. So I'm starting to feel that and see the impact. And part of what I get to do is explain to senior leaders and to the board some of this impact, especially from a communications and marketing perspective. So that's been really fun. Also watching the university grow. So, you know, I think a real turning point was for the university was the introduction of our strategic plan. And I think for a couple of reasons. One, you know, it gave us our new North Star, right? Something that we could all work towards in terms of enrollment growth and research growth. But it also gave us an opportunity through the consultation process that we used to build SHAPE. Everybody got, if they wanted to be a part of that conversation, they could be a part of that conversation. And so I think it was really good just from a morale and culture perspective to have that opportunity to come together and talk about, you know, what do we love about the university? What's working really well? You know, what are our aspirations? And put it all down in one document that we all buy into. So I actually think that was a real turning point in a really positive way this last fall.
Right. And I can see how I can definitely see the layers of challenges that you discussed, but also it seems like opportunity as well. And it seems like you are attracted to being able to be part of these opportunities to shape, to just borrow a word from the strategic plan, but shape that direction and play a part in doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other piece that has been really fun is, especially going through SHAPE, is just seeing the passion that people have for the university, obviously our internal community, but also our external community, you know, business leaders, community leaders that, you know, really wanted to understand what is SHAPE about. Many contributed to it as well. There's a lot of folks around us that are very loyal to the university, want us to be successful and see it as their university.
Right. I think it's an important part to Alberta, an important part to Edmonton. And, you know, speaking not even just from economic impact, which of course is vast, but even just culturally, a lot of people have familiarity with the University of Alberta. Many of them hopefully listening to this podcast right now.
Yeah, hopefully, for sure. And it's a point of pride, right? It's a point of pride.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, point of pride for me personally, even. Today, we want to talk about leadership, and you're obviously in a leadership role, and we've already, in this short discussion, gone over some of the challenges, but also opportunities you faced. I know you wrote an article a while ago where you talked a lot about how you developed your leadership skills from earlier jobs and how they pay off now, which I think really fits well with what we try to do in this podcast. So I'd like to go through the five foundational aspects that you talked about in that article and just sort of talk about why they are important to you, how you've developed them, how you keep them sharp, how you apply them to your job. And we'll just go through them and hopefully will give us a sense of how other people can think about how they build those skills. So I'll just list them all and then we'll go through them. It starts with empathy, always important. I think empathy is like the crucial leadership skill. Solutions orientation, relationship building, team building, and integrity. So I want to start with empathy and just tell me, why is empathy so important and how do you develop that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's probably part of who I am. You know, I've probably always been an empathetic person. But what I talked about in that article is that, you know, starting off where I did in my early 20s in the legislature, you know, I was able to see a couple of things. One, very different perspectives on one issue. A policy issue, for example, right? And so depending on where you sat on the political spectrum, you would have different views on a policy issue. So I got to see that. Secondly, I got to be introduced to Albertans that would bring issues to the legislature, right? So they would want to talk to a cabinet minister or to an MLA about a particular issue. And so you got to hear the background about why they might feel a certain way about a policy. So putting those together, what I was able to see early on is that, you know, where somebody sits on an issue or stood on an issue really depends on where they sit, right? It's their own personal perspective, their own personal experience. And, if you take the time to understand where everybody is coming at an issue from, you have a better understanding of a more holistic view of an issue. You have much more appreciation for another perspective. And I always saw, and even in my own thinking, you know, you would come up with a better decision if you took the time to really understand opposite perspectives or other perspectives. And so kind of early on in my 20s, you know, I arrived in the legislature full of opinions and views, and many of them were altered over time because I listened and I learned and I understood history and I took time to understand the history of things. And I would say, you know, it taught me critical thinking, but it also taught me compassion and empathy. And, you know, I might have been quick to judge, you know, a particular issue, and you know, listening to somebody's experience, you know, made me appreciate that maybe I didn't have all the facts. So I have carried, that's probably one of the most important things that I've carried throughout my life. And, you know, in the professional services business, you know, I went on to have a public relations firm where I was advocating for businesses and individuals and not-for-profits on typically on policy issues. You know, to have the empathy, I think, made me just much better at my job. It made me better able to articulate an issue to, you know, policymakers, to the media, and to folks on the opposite side of an issue. So I think it made me pretty effective at what I did because I brought all that to bear.
And I imagine here where you're dealing with a real diverse group of stakeholders, not just externally, but internally as well, from profs to students to staff, being able to understand all those different points of views, or at least recognize that they're coming from different places, probably serves you well also.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And I go out of my way to make sure that I hear all the perspectives. Right. So, you know, I don't wait for people to bring them to me. You know, if somebody brings me a perspective, I actively go out and try to find, you know, the rest of the story. Right.
There's probably that extra effort, you know, thinking about how do you develop empathy as a skill. And I know you mentioned it's part of your person. And I certainly think authenticity is also crucial in these sorts of areas. But just that extra effort, I imagine, of, you know, listening, following up, thinking about where people are coming from and what they're going through and why they might have their views is an important way to build up that skill.
Yeah, I think I learned that too early on in the legislature, just how important it is to get back to people. And, you know, I'll admit I wasn't very good at it in my early 20s. And, you know, you were moving fast and you kind of picked up the things that you wanted to pick up. And you know, I learned probably some hard lessons in my early 20s where I didn't follow up. And people would come back to me and, you know, in a very desperate state, right? Where are you at? And I very quickly just understood the importance of following up with people. And because often it's their livelihood or it's something that's very important to them that's sort of weighing in the balance. And they're waiting for information. And even a decision that might not be in their favor was at least some closure. So for me, sort of that following up with people and giving them the respect to hear them and then to follow up was really important.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, it, you know, a lot of that also just comes down to, I think, respect and making the time for people. But I think it's also difficult to do in your early 20s when you're just starting a career. And I can't imagine starting a career in the ledge. Like, geez, that's a from my 50-foot view, that seems like a difficult little arena to be thrust into at a young age. But
well, and I'll admit I had it easier because in my day, you know, I'll date myself, right? But it wasn't the 24-hour news cycle. Mm-hmm. And social media, so it was probably a little bit more forgiving than it would be today.
There's still many strong personalities, I bet.
Yeah, true.
Let's move on. We'll go to this second foundational aspect, solutions orientation. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in part because some of the things that I worked on in my early days in the legislature was around policy. Right. So, I mean, the whole point of developing a policy was to have an end. Right. So, and it was usually fixing an issue. So I was sort of trained to think through issues to a solution. So that would be part of it. You know, the other piece of it, I already mentioned that, you know, the issues that are before government are brought forward typically by an association or an individual, you know, pushing for a particular solution. So, you know, that was good training ground as well. And I think just that piece about, you know, having respect for the individuals or organizations that are waiting for an answer, you know, it's just important to keep moving things forward, and make a decision. And often, not often, sometimes the decision wasn't in their favor, but they appreciated the decision and they appreciated the rationale and the thoughtfulness that would be included in the response, right? So I also would say, you know, to decision makers, you know, sometimes it's the decision is important, but also how you think through and articulate the decision is also important. And again, I guess it goes back to the beginning comment that I made just about perspectives, right? Sometimes it just takes a minute to explain to people why you can't do what they might be asking. And if you take the time to explain the other perspectives and the other side, you know, they might not be as frustrated.
That makes a lot of sense. Clear communication is so important. And I think also just the sincerity and honesty around what you're trying to do goes a long way. And it's interesting how all of these points, and I know the next one is going to be specifically about relationship building, but I think they are also all about relationship building. It seems leadership is about the way that you interact with people. Otherwise, you wouldn't be leading anyone. You'd just be alone. So,
yeah. Very true.
Let's move on to that third one, relationship building. And I'm very interested in learning because working in these different atmospheres, obviously, right now you're in a job that is all about relationship building vastly across a lot of different stakeholders, as we've said before. So I'm curious how you focus on relationship building and how you've developed those skills.
Yeah, I think, again, it probably just goes back to a bit of who I am. You know, I've always had an interest in people and I've always been more interested in listening about other people than maybe talking about myself. So, you know, here I am rambling on. But, you know, I think especially when I had my own company, you know, it was things like business development came very easy to me because in a social setting, for example, just talking to people about, you know, what do they do for a living and what are the issues that they're facing? And through those conversations, you know, just me thinking about how I might be able to be helpful to them. And it just sort of organically, you know, happens where, have you thought about this? And, you know, here's something you might want to try. And, you know, them in the end saying, well, actually, can you help me with this? You know, and that's really, you know, sort of the secret to my business development over the years was, you know, was just really listening and taking an interest. The other piece of it too, I would say, just around relationship building is, you know, I'm very humbled by some of the relationships that, you know, I have sustained and maintained over the years. And I'll run into somebody, you know, in a grocery store and they'll say, oh, I remember working with you here. And you know, it was early on in my career quite often. And they'll tell me about an interaction. And, you know, to have an impact on somebody, right, where they actually recall something that you said to them 10 or 15 years ago, to me is a very humbling experience. But again, and I feel the same about people. I mean, I remember those interactions. I remember the people that, you know, gave me constructive criticism. I remember the people that, you know, have been mentored me willingly or you know, I just took from them because I was learning from them as I watched. But, you know, I've been really blessed with having wonderful mentors in my life and people that took an interest in my career, and I really value those relationships, and I really value the idea of giving back as well. So, you know, where I can, I try to mentor particular young women, but certainly anybody who is, you know, trying to get their foot in the door, you know, down a career path, I will always take time to help people because I remember those folks that helped me along the way.
And I think that's the key to building a strong network too. And you talked about your business success and all the relationships, the ability to build that. I think being good at maintaining relations, and a lot of that I think is about, you know, kindness. You talked about being humbled by people just remembering things you say, respecting people, all the things you said around that. It can go a long way. Being someone who is good to be around at a workplace, I think, is a really valuable skill that we don't think about too often, but it's so true. Anyway,
it's those little things, right? Like returning a phone call. People
right.
remember that. Right?
Follow up, as you said. Yeah. Okay. Well, and let's take this one step further to the fourth little foundational aspect here, team building. So this goes beyond just one-on-one relationships, but building a team, which is a challenge because you've got different personalities. Talk about needing empathy to do it. So what have you learned about team building?
Yeah, I think you know, a couple of really good lessons in particular as I was building my own company, and maybe I'll start there. You know, trusted relationships are just so critical. And making sure that people feel valued. I think, you know, this maybe sounds a little bit trite, but, you know, people want to feel valued. They want to be seen and they want to know that they're contributing. And if they're not in a role where they're contributing to the extent that they want to, or to the extent maybe that you think they can, then take the time to have the conversation to say, you know, where do you want to be? Where do you think you can add the most value? And then being really responsive to that. I think I had great loyalty from my team, you know, when I had my public relations firm, because I really listened, you know, and, you know, understood where people wanted to grow, where they thought they needed some help, making sure that I'm there to mentor them or to get them some external support, and to recognize their work. You know, and I think just taking a minute to say thank you goes a long way. Taking a minute to say, I saw what you did there. It was fantastic. I can see you're struggling. So let's talk about it. What can I do to help? And, you know, those are things that are, you know, just really meaningful interactions that I think people value, and they respect that and they want to be around it. And for me, you know, to have that kind of engagement is important. I get a lot out of that as well.
It definitely takes a level of awareness and understanding people to be able to have those interactions with the team. And because I think, you know, people have a difficult time sometimes expressing when they're struggling or expressing the need to be acknowledged for the work they do. Everybody's different, I think, in that regard. And it can be a challenge to recognize those different personalities, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the other thing is that, you know, I certainly don't think I know all the answers, right? So, you know, I'm always looking to talk to people to get perspectives and viewpoints, you know, going back to the initial conversation that we had. So, you know, just being really engaged with your team. It's more difficult here when, you know, I have 300 folks in the external relations team, but I also have a great group of leaders that I know have a very similar approach, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it does permeate throughout the external relations group.
Well, let's get down to the last point on the five foundational aspects that inform leadership. Let's talk about integrity. What does that mean to you, and why is it important?
Yeah, again, I think this is maybe just who I am. It's always been important to mean what I say and say what I mean and do the right thing, even if it doesn't maybe get you further. Right. I've always believed that. And, you know, I said in the article, you know, it's led to occasions where, you know, I've turned down clients because in my heart, or, you know, it didn't align with my values. Companies, you know, what they wanted me to do was not something that I felt good with, right? Or that I, you know, in some cases, I actually took certain clients to the rest of the team and said, you know, I have a viewpoint on this, but what's yours? Is this a company that you would feel good serving, or is this one that we need to pass? And we would have really robust conversations about whether or not we passed on a client. And, you know, often we did. And it meant, you know, less revenue, but it meant a team that could hold their head high and feel really good about it, and me personally. And, you know, I've always been in this sort of service space. And so, you know, integrity was really your currency. And it is today in relationships, right? If people don't feel like they can trust you, if they don't feel like you're being authentic, those relationships are not going to last. So it's really important to ensure that you always maintain your integrity. And so for me, it's personally, I need it. It's important to me, but professionally, you know, you also need to protect it and nurture that.
Well, I think so much of this conversation has been about authenticity and understanding yourself and then shaping your values and around that. I think I saw a really good talk by Marvin Washington, who is the Dean of Humanities and Social Science, who I think is awesome. I really liked his talk.
He's so great. I love working with him.
He was talking about how we often, you know, you'll get a job somewhere and part of that job will be in something like a strategic plan. They'll be like, here are our company values, or things like that. Very familiar to, I'm sure, lots of people listening now. But he thought about that we should spin that a bit, and that before you seek a job, you should try to identify your personal values. And then from there, you'll be able to find a job that really lines up with who you are and will let you be your authentic self. And I think about that a lot. I think it's a really great idea in terms of trying to think about where you fit somewhere. But also, I think in terms of a leadership role, you can also think about your own personal values and how that shapes your leadership, which, you know, you seem to have done.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, maybe not as intentionally as Marvin recommends, and I think that's really good advice, and especially for young folks that are just starting out. But I think, you know, for those two that are looking to be in the same space that I am in public relations, I think it's you know, really critical, because often now you're telling the story of that organization. Mm-hmm. And can you authentically tell that story? You know, how does that feel to you? And so for me, I actually was part of my master's in public relations. We spent a lot of time talking about that, making sure that you're working in an organization that aligns with your values as you're trying to tell that story. And you're trying to tell it to other folks that and build those relationships and partnerships. So I think that's wise advice from Marvin, as usual.
Yeah. And it's certainly challenging to tell a story if you don't see yourself in it, I think. That's always how I felt whenever I worked in communications. You can always try to find a bit of yourself, almost like method acting storytelling. But yeah,
it's a difficult thing. I get asked that, actually, you know, especially when I was in politics, and, you know, how did you write a press release or mm-hmm. put together messages on a policy issue that you didn't agree with?
Yeah.
Or how did you brief your minister on an issue that you maybe had a different viewpoint on?
Mm-hmm.
And it was challenging, right? I mean, from my perspective, I always tried to find, again, going back to integrity, trying to find a thread that, you know, was something that I could ground myself in, right? And, it's tricky.
Well, and I think leadership on the whole is tricky, just to try to sum it up. But these are great points. I think it's really useful. I think these are all points that people can consider and think about. And, you know, one last thing I wanted to talk about before we ended is, in that same article, you talk about finding these skills and identifying them early on in a career and how they can serve you throughout. And I know we've talked about that a little bit, but I wondered if you just wanted to reflect really quickly about some of the ways that you've maybe made note about them, or how you've developed these particular skills throughout your career.
Yeah, I would say, you know, maybe integrity and empathy are probably things that, you know, are a bit inherent in who I am. But, you know, relationship building was something that I had to work on. And, you know, I maybe alluded to this in one of my comments, but early on, I made some missteps, mm-hmm. you know, where I had people say to me, you know, I've been waiting for X weeks. You haven't returned my call. And, you know, some of them were in tears. I wouldn't say some of them, the one that I'm thinking of was somebody in tears that really stuck with me. And I thought, you know, gee, I had this power, you know, almost think of it as I had this power to have a positive impact in this person's life. And instead, you know, somewhat cruelly, although not intentionally, I made them wait. And that was a hard lesson, but I remember that. And I remember that from time to time. Again, it's humbling, and it's good to be humbled, you know, and just remind yourself that there are people on the other end of these relationships, and, you know, yeah, their lives are important and their issues are important, and how you treat them matters.
This has been a really great talk. I've certainly learned a lot, and I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Ilan.
Well, thank you, Matthew. And I'm sorry if I was a bit rambly. So,
not at all. I like the rambling.
By the way.
Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Job, and a special thanks to our guest Ilan MacDonald for giving some advice about leadership. And as always, a reminder that the best place for alumni to connect with other alumni about jobs, mentorship, or volunteer opportunities is the online platform Switchboard. It's free, and you can try it out today at uab.ca/sboard. It's a great tool no matter where you are in your career journey. That's all for this episode. For What the Job, I'm Matt Ray. See you next time.